We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. Steve Geller will join us at 5:45 for Triple Option. Bobby J will return back to the lineup tomorrow, given his insights on the Saints and also March Madness and the Pelicans. So Bob will come back tomorrow, give us some details on his thoughts after taking a little bit of time off. Charlie, before we go into anything else, man, got to congratulate Dante Jackson and Grambling State. And what a great win last night. They were down by 14 to Montana State. They bring this into overtime. So not only was it their first NCAA tournament game, it was their first NCAA tournament win. So, man, congratulations to Dante Jackson and Grambling State. A little bit of a foe. They're going up against Purdue. But, man, congratulations to Dante. He, coach, came over to the Bayou, had done a little clinic there, high-energy guy, very enthusiastic. And all he would tell me is, hey, we're going to be competitive. I guarantee you, he said, Coach, we're going to be competitive this year. And to pull that off in overtime after going down 14 against Montana State. So congratulations to the Grambling State Tigers. And Coach Jackson did a great job there to finish it off, winning the SWAC and then winning that opening game in that play-in tournament to over Montana State.
Yeah, absolutely. And now that, as you said, they have Purdue in that 1-16 matchup. And, you know, once again, Purdue is trying to prove some doubters wrong, I guess you would say, based off of what's happened in the last few years with Matt Painter. Now they're trying to make a run, and they have a very favorable draw, I would think, to maybe make an Elite Eight push, and we'll see where they go from there. We're going to be talking to a couple guests later on about the brackets and everything that's happened so far and what's coming up next. And then we also have the McNeese Cowboys, Mike, as the 12 seed facing Gonzaga tonight. That game is going to be tipping off at 6:25 on TBS. I'm really looking forward to that. That was a really popular 12-5 upset.
Yeah, a lot of peeping eyes be watching that. McNeese State, and certainly Will Wade gets a lot of spotlight put on him, and he likes that. He doesn't mind soaking that in, but he has got a very talented basketball team around him. Really good shoot guard. And we talked about it yesterday to Mark Cook, former college coach and NBA scout. And he said, you know, he's the key. That guy's the key to their success. And he doesn't think, to be honest with you, that Gonzaga is got to have a good answer for him. Like you said, they might beat him in other areas, but they're not going to beat him there. Charlie, we've talked about this before. When you have a guard and he's like the center on a football team, he's the drummer in a band. Okay, it's his beat of the drum. That's how you run the offense and run defensively.
Good guard play is essential to March success, Mike. You just can't have like a single big man that dominates every single game. You have to have a good guard, at least a good lead guard, if not a couple good guards. And, I mean, that's what McNeese has and Shahada Wells. We'll see what happens in that matchup against Gonzaga. So far, Mike, let's give the people an update. Michigan State, the 9th seed out of the West region, just totally cruise past Mississippi State, which I think a lot of people were kind of thought it was going to be a really close game. Michigan State wins 69-51.
Tom Izzo coach or what?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Tom Izzo, his success in March speaks for itself. After that, we had the first big upset of the day, Mike. Yep. The number 11 Duquesne Dukes upset the number 6 BYU Cougars. So if anyone had BYU going any kind of deep, I had them win their first game, but I didn't have them beating Illinois. that's not necessarily the first bracket buster because I'm not sure many people at BYU going super deep, but that's the first double-digit team to win today was number 11, Duquesne. After that, Creighton, number 3 Creighton out of the Midwest region, had a little bit of a scare versus Akron in the first half, but they pulled away in the second. They win that game 77-60. Similar situation, number 2 Arizona took down 15-seeded Long Beach State in the West region 85-65 after a pretty tight first half, and they pulled away in the second. And then, as everyone expected, number 1 North Carolina in the West region cruised past number 16 Wagner with a 90-62 victory. Games going on right now, Mike. Illinois starting to pull away a little bit from Morehead State, the 14 seed in the East region, with a 70-54 score with about 8 minutes left to go in the second half. Halftime score over in the Midwest region, number 11 Oregon is up on number 6 South Carolina, 34-29. So we could see a couple of 11 seeds getting those first round upsets today. And then right now on this is TBS, number 10 Nevada trails number 7 Dayton in the West region by a score of 20-16. So that's your March Madness update.
Give you a little bit of NFL update, and certainly as a connection here, Odell Beckham Jr., a former LSU star, Isadora Newman High School, is visiting the Miami Dolphins today after a one-year hiatus with the Ravens, and the price tag was a little bit high, and so he moves on. I think that would be a really good fit for the way the Dolphins throw the football downfield, short, quick throws. It's built for a guy like Odell to be that number 3 guy. Okay, you know, you got Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. So Odell Beckham in Miami today to talk to the Dolphins and Mike McDaniel. And we always talk about that's just a handful of guys. I don't care if it's draft time or free agency. That's only a handful, 3 to 4, each and every year. That no matter where they end up, the production's the same. This is a good fit if they can make it work financially with Odell Beckham Jr. and that offense. Here's the problem. You got to win games to have those northern teams come down to play you in early January. Right? You don't want to be traveling to Kansas City or to New York or wherever.
Get frostbite.
No, but, man, heat them up. Let them come to Miami at that time, because then you would have some true home field advantage. I grew up, I'm old enough, man, I saw those Shula teams do that in Miami. They got you there, and they like turned up the heat on you because you're not used to playing in that type of heat and humidity late December and into January. So Odell Beckham Jr. visiting the Miami Dolphins today. Let's see if they can come up with a deal. I do think it's a good fit for what Mike McDaniels runs. And sort of some news behind the scenes, and I hear it more and more, especially from agents in this business, is that this is an offensive-oriented draft, and most likely 9 of the top 10 players selected is going to be on the offensive side of football. Potentially the first time ever 4 quarterbacks get picked. Now, I don't have J.J. McCarthy as a top 5 or 6 player. I got him as a top 20 guy, and I think that's a good chance he ends up in the top 4. And you may see whatever order it's going to be. If it's Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, somebody trading up to get into that either 4 or 5 spot for McCarthy, is the focus now on defense. It is prime now. Dallas Turner, Jared Verse. And I've had some NFL people tell me they don't think at all that either one will get past 13. They think both of them will come off the board before the 13th pick.
It makes all the sense in the world for Atlanta to take Dallas Turner at pick 8. And I think Jared Verse, yeah, that if you don't have a team that trades up into the top 4, like Minnesota has the 11th pick, it would make all the sense in the world for them to trade up for a quarterback. If they want to trade up and use all that draft capital to go get J.J. McCarthy, that seems like a little bit of a dumb move in my opinion.
But that's what they're
going
to try.
But, I mean, they're going to try and do that, move up to number 4. Then at that point, maybe, you know, if they move up to 4 and Arizona moves back to 11, Arizona could be a potential spot for Jared Verse. I think maybe
that,
Denver.
That makes a lot of sense. Denver is another
Denver
team.
Could work out with them at number 12. So, yeah, I could definitely see by 13, like you're saying, Mike, both of those top 2 edge rushers off the board.
So what happens there is as the dominoes start to hit, maybe an offensive lineman you thought would go a little bit ahead of someone else sort of slides down a couple picks back. Fusano is one of them from Penn State. Fantano, also from Washington's a guy in that category. Well, those two tackles, J.C. Latham is a third. That they're not going to slide a far ways down, but it could be a couple of picks down. And so you see all these offensive picks going off the board, most likely four quarterbacks, three wide receivers, a couple of edge rushers, Joe Alt, maybe another offensive lineman if it's Fashanu from Penn State or Fuagu from Oregon State, and it's Brock Bowers and where he's going to play in this. You can see it now more and more. Some of this is starting to take shape a little bit, and with a very deep class along the offensive line, you may have someone that you thought maybe would go 10 or 11 may slide to 14 or 15. That's just the way it goes come draft time, because teams can say what they want about we got our board and this is what we want to do. No, you're picking the biggest needs on that board too. And so an offensive lineman with so many of them in this draft class. If you want to get better, this is the draft class to get better in. They got a ton of offensive linemen, especially at tackle, but there's some really good interior linemen and the potential of two guys that you would project. I know one, Jackson Powers Johnson, he's going to play center, and Graham Barton from Duke, who's played tackle, but as a freshman he played center. A lot of people think his best position, and I'm in that agreement, is center. He could either play center or guard, all going in round one.
Yes, sir.
That's a lot of offensive linemen here. So you know what? You double down. In this type class, if you need help, that's where you go. And we saw Buffalo do it last year. Not only pick one tight end, they picked two. So did the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, build to the strengths of a draft. If the strength of a draft is offensive tackle, offensive line, go get you some.
Yeah, I mean, it's just common sense, but sometimes that's not always the case. You're trying to fill a need, and you pass up a much better player. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. Want to tell everybody at 5:20 this afternoon, head coach of defending national champs in women's basketball, Kim Mulkey, will join us at 5:20. Charlie, I know we've talked about this before. We have a texter, 3570, talked about, I know you guys have brought it up, about the tight end from Georgia would be an ideal pick. He would make an immediate impact for the Saints, and in round two, maybe get a lineman in what is considered a real deep class along the offensive line. Man, we've talked about that for weeks and weeks.
I'm fine with, well, with Brock
I'd be
Bowers.
Fine with that. All I know is they don't have nobody on this roster that is as good as Brock Bowers. Bottom line, Brock Bowers is going to be an immediate impact. I agree with the texter 100%. He's going to come in here and he's going to make an impact, and he's just not a receiver. Watch him play at Georgia. Man, he throws a block, and he's physical with people at the point of attack. He's not no bulldozer type of guy, but, man, he makes contact, and he sort of moves you out the way, his man doesn't make a play. And that's what I want. I'm not talking about knocking somebody to the ground. We're not living back in 1955 anymore. But his ability to get open downfield, and when you talk to defensive coordinators in college football that have had to play Georgia, their deal is first things first. Wherever Bowers is, we want to have two guys there, either bracket coverage or it's a double coverage on him. He's that good, and he somehow still breaks away. He has just got that knack for making people kind of slide and getting past them and making a play downfield. And we saw last year in the best tight end class that I've ever done, ever, in close to 40 years for me, what type of impact Sam LaPorta made. Man, Sam got in there, and it was like, man, okay, yeah, Iowa, yeah, they didn't throw me the ball much, but they sure do here in Detroit. He was a big impact performer for them.
And when you look at, you know, the positional value, that's why he would even potentially fall to pick 14 at the same time.
It is about position value.
If you're doing best player available, there's the ways to draft, like we were talking about earlier, draft through their strengths of a draft. As far as offensive lineman goes, you know, there's a couple of different positions in this draft. But at the same time, best player available. Brock Bowers is a top 10 prospect. If he's there at 14, he's likely the best player on your board. Go get him. I'm not against it at all to that listener.
No, I agree with you. And I know Charlie and I, we've talked about it quite a bit. And it would seem to be the lean would be toward offensive line because there are going to be some guys there that are going to be very enticing. But, you know, Bowers becomes the X factor in his top 15 picks. He really does.
I don't think he's there, unfortunately. I wouldn't bet on it, him being there at pick 14. If he's there at pick 14, I think it's a win-win. We've talked about this as well, Mike. You either go out and get him, or you can trade back to a team in the 20s that really wants to go get themselves a Brock Bowers, and then you accumulate an extra second, extra third-round pick in this draft class, and you have more shots to rebuild this roster. At the same time, I would love to have Brock Bowers on this team, kind of like you were saying. I think he's just a legitimate NFL-ready tight end weapon, and you've seen how good, as you mentioned, Sam LaPorta last year, how he changed that Detroit Lions offense. I mean, one draft class can really change a team, but if you're looking at the top teams from last year, you're looking at the Ravens and Mark Andrews, you're looking at the Chiefs and Travis Kelce, you're looking at the Lions and Sam LaPorta, you're
49ers, looking at
49ers and George Kittle, but those are the final four teams. They all had a legit tight end. Go get you one.
Yeah, and to answer the question, I'm not against it. See if he'll be there. A lot of people thought maybe the Jets.
I think it fit at would, Big 10 would make
at
sense.
At 10, and that's exactly where I've got him pegged, at the 10th spot. But over the last week, they go out and they get Mike Williams, a receiver, with the L.A. Chargers, and then they sign Tyron Smith, the veteran left tackle with the Cowboys. That would seem to be the fit, you know, and now you give Aaron Rodgers another weapon at the tight end
spot. I know
spot.
He'd be happy with having a Brock Bowers on his team.
Yeah, he'd be really happy if somebody can keep him standing upright. And Brock can help that in that part, too. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870. We have Steve Wiseman from the Believe Network talking about the NCAA tournament right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line from the Believe Network, Steve Wiseman. Steve, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Mike, good to be with you. Good, and Charlie, good to talk some basketball. It's March Madness. It's the best time of the year.
Yes, indeed. Before we get into some of the other games, we'll focus in a little bit on Louisiana. But what a great job, Dante Jackson at Grambling State. First time ever in the NCAA. And then you get your first W last night. You were trailing by 14. You end up with an overtime win. Now, Purdue is who they are, but they got to prove they can win a game somewhere along the line. So, man, congratulations to Dante and Coach Jackson. I got to know him a little bit in the summer when he came down here to do a camp. Always enthusiastic and high-energy guy, and all he kept telling me is, we're going to be competitive, Coach. We're going to be competitive.
And are they? How about that? What a great comeback last night. You know, Purdue's been known to lose, the 1-16 game. It just happened last year, right? So maybe Lightning can strike twice there for Grambling State, and they can take care of him over there in Indy tomorrow. But I did like the way, Grambling State kind of, I mean, they were, like you said, they were down 14, and that game looked to be, you know, out of their reach. And boy, they took it right to Montana State and just came back and, got that win, and they played really great basketball here down the stretch, right? They've, they've gone from below 500 just a few weeks ago to now, in the NCAA tournament winning games.
got some confidence playing. We'll look at the other team in the state of Louisiana, McNeese State, and Will Wade. He kind of sucks all the air out of the room because of his personality. But people, man, maybe overlook how good of a team he's assembled here. And when I look at Gonzaga, and I've had a couple people tell me this, that this is maybe not the Gonzaga team that you might remember of 2 years ago or 3 years ago. That Will Wade and McNeese, they got a shot here, not only, you know, if you're a gambler, to cover, but to win this game against Gonzaga.
They do. This is certainly not the Gonzaga we've known in the last 4 or 5 years where, you know, they entered the tournament looking like a Final Four team from day one, right? That's not the case. They were, you know, they were in danger of not making the tournament, and then they won at Kentucky, you know, about 6 weeks ago, and that kind of turned their season around and got them going, and they ended up, you know, getting past St. Mary's and getting back into the tournament, you know, which they usually do from their conference. So, no, this is a very winnable game for McNeese. I think it's going to be a popular upset pick on a lot of people's brackets. As you know, McNeese, heck, they've only lost one game since November, right? I mean, they're rolling. And you know, Will Wade, you're right, he sucks the air out of the room. He brings the passion and the personality, but he can coach a lot too, and he's got a heck of a team.
Steve, so far through the first, I would say, 6-7 games that have been played, the only real big upset's been Duquesne over BYU, the first 11 seed, double-digit seed to win a game. So looking right now, as we got about halfway through the second half, that number 11 Oregon's going to take down South Carolina in their first-round matchup as well. Every single year, there's, you know, a double-digit seed that makes a run at least to the Sweet 16. I think it was like 22 of the last 23 tournaments, or some kind of stat like that. And I think Oregon's an interesting one because Dana Altman always seems to have great success in the tournament. Obviously getting off to a really good start by beating South Carolina if they hold on to the score. Is that a team you could see going on a deep run and making the Sweet 16?
I do, and you know, that's not what we think of as the typical, you know, double-digit seed making a run, right? It's usually a team from a smaller conference that kind of gets their day in the sun and really takes it and runs with it. But I do like Oregon's team. I do like Dana Altman as a coach. He's had some teams make some runs in tournaments before. He's obviously experienced and very good coach, and I think they've got a shot. I thought they would beat South Carolina just because South Carolina didn't have any tournament experience at all on their team. I mean, they hadn't been in the field since 2017, so that was kind of a new experience for them, and they're on the rebound, right? They had a losing season last year, and they've kind of come back up, and they're kind of making a move into a better place in the SEC. So I'm not surprised that they're losing this game, but the double-digit speed I'm looking at is James Madison, who's 31-3, and I'm here in Brooklyn covering the tournament up here. This is where Duke is, and James Madison's playing Wisconsin. And if they beat Wisconsin and Duke beats Vermont, then they'll play Duke. So I'm keeping an eye on James Madison. I think they're the 12 seed. It's got a real shot to do a lot of damage in this tournament.
Steve, we've had a couple people on, and, man, they've waved the flag. And one, I can believe. Got a lot of believers in North Carolina, feeling as though they can make a real run at this. The other one, you're going to have to convince me, and that's Kentucky. They don't play defense. I mean, they might outscore you and beat you, but their defense has been El Lazio all year long. But North Carolina, to me, would seem to be legit. There's a lot of people that think they could make this a run. So try to convince me if you're a believer in Kentucky, too.
Okay. Well, I mean, first of all, North Carolina, I've seen them a lot, obviously, working in Raleigh. And I think they are legitimate. They should have been a number one seed, despite losing to the conference championship to the underdog NC State team. So I think they're equipped to make a run. I think with Armando Bacot and RJ Davis back from the team that made the championship a couple of years ago down in the Superdome, that they've got the squad that can do it. So that's what I think about them. Now Kentucky, you know, normally when you get into tournament play, you've got to be able to play some defense to advance. And it takes you know, solid guard play. It takes defense, you know, not turning the ball over. And, you know, I mean, Rob Dillingham can score and Taylor
yes,
Reed
can
score, but they don't play a lot of defense, right? So that's been the problem. I know talking to some writers up there, they've kind of tried to convince them they should play a lot more zone because they can't handle man to man, you know? So that's where they are defensively. Reed Sheppard, obviously, you know, I got to mention him. Fantastic. But so I think they could have a poor shooting night and get taken out by somebody that's going to, be able to put up 80 points on them, right? Or 85 points because they give up so many points. That's not a team I'm looking at that can make a run just because of those problems.
Steve, I know you're really in tune to the ACC, and I want to get you to look into your crystal ball a little bit. We already talked about BYU and Duquesne, that upset from the 11-6 seed, and then you also talked about Oregon as an 11 seed making a push. But the other two 6-11 matchups I think are pretty interesting. They both include ACC squads. First, we've got number 6 Clemson that a few people have kind of said are a little bit overseeded. They're hosting number 11 New Mexico. And then, obviously, Texas Tech is a 6 seed going against 11 seed NC State. As you mentioned, went on a crazy run in the ACC tournament, upsetting both Duke and North Carolina on the way to winning the championship and getting their ticket to the tournament. So what are your thoughts on those two matchups, including, those two ACC squads? I think that it's possible that we could see a 4-0 record this tournament from those 11 seeds.
I think you're right. And I'm going to start with NC State because it depends to me, what team shows up tonight at 9:40 Eastern, because the team that was going into the ACC tournament had lost 7 out of 9 and 4 in a row and looked like their coach was going to get fired. And so that team wasn't very good at all. I saw them play because Duke beat them by 15 the last Monday of the regular season and won pretty handily. And then just the next week, I watched them win 5 games in 5 days up in D.C. But shooting the ball better, taking care of the ball, defending, communicating on defense, not giving up straight line drives, all the kind of things that were a big problem for them a lot during this year, they fixed in Washington, D.C. last week, and that's why they won the championship. So if that team plays tonight, they're going to win. I think they'll be better than Texas Tech. I think they can win a couple of games at least in this tournament. But it's just kind of the unknown of March. We've got to see, which one shows up and if they can carry over all that momentum, because they have a ton of momentum right now, I'll tell you that. But then so the other ACC team you talked about is Clemson. And, they kind of faltered down the stretch. They weren't as good maybe in ACC play as they were in non-conference. It was the opposite of last year when they didn't make the field. And I think, I would like – I like Clemson's team. I like P.J. Hall. He does a lot of things inside. He's very. He's going to be a good pro. They got Joe Girard transferred down from Syracuse. They have experienced guys. These are seniors and juniors that are playing a lot. And so I like their team from that point of view. I just wish if they would have been in the tournament last year and had some experience, they would be prepared to make a run to the Sweet 16 maybe this year. But because of that lack of experience, I think it's going to bite them, and that might be overrated as far as that intangible. But I just think your first time they finally got into the tournament, and I fear that they're going to be kind of glad to be here, and they're not going to bring their best game, and it's going to bite them.
Steve, we've had other people on talk about, man, I like this team, I like that team. It goes right back down to the end, but man, Connecticut's going to be hard to beat. So I know why they the betting favorites. Look at this team, Connecticut, at this time and a year ago, the differences between the two squads. But man, a lot of people feel as though Connecticut is got, even though it's going to be a little bit difficult to get there, they got a chance to repeat here.
Steve, that path is really tough, though.
It's a tough path, but, man, I'd like to see – they better get an off night shooting.
That's right. And, they got the same coach. That's the main thing, right? They got Danny Hurley back, and he's proven to be up to this challenge. And it's been a long time since we've had a repeat champion. I think it's been since Florida, right?
Yep.
So, we're looking at that. Before that, you have to go back to Duke in the early 90s. So it doesn't happen very often. But they are positioned to do it. They have the edge and the toughness that kind of personifies, or their coach personifies their team, right? It's kind of go both directions there, and they're just playing great basketball. They're here in Brooklyn as well at the regional I'm at, and I know they're going to have a large contingent of people here for the first 2 rounds to help, almost like a home crowd for them to get them through. And then we'll see. Then they go to Boston, which is almost equidistant. Both places,
right.
New York or Boston, from stores. So they earned that by being the best team in the country this year. They earned being as close to home as they can. So the path is certainly set up for them. It is going to be tough to get through the region, but they have all those things going for them.
And Steve, a recent trend that I've been reviewing and going back and forth over, I didn't end up picking any of them because I think the two seeds are pretty strong this year. And so far, they're 1-0 with Arizona taking down Long Beach State. But each of the last 3 years, a two seed has fallen in the first round to a 15 seed. And via like the first 35 years before that, there was like 8 times it happened. So it was very rare, but it's happened each of the last 3 years. Arizona's already taken down Long Beach State. How do you feel about Iowa State and South Dakota State, Marquette and Western Kentucky, and then obviously Tennessee and St. Peter's? Do you think that there's any upsets there, or are you feeling safe with those two seeds?
Marquette would be the only one because, you know, they're kind of getting their squad back together after having some injury problems, right? You know, Tyler Kolek's been hurt some, and he's supposed to come back and play. So he's a really good player, and I think that will obviously help them. But if there's one of those that you mentioned – Western Kentucky and Marquette's the one that jumps out to me because I like some of the things Western Kentucky's done this year. And I'm going to have to pick one. That's the one I'm going to pick.
Steve, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always great insights, bud, and have you back on next week when we've got a few games under our belt.
I would love to do it. Glad to be home with you guys. Take care.
Thanks Steve.
So much. Steve Wiseman from the Believe Network. And he's got a lot of the same beliefs you do, Charlie, on some of these games. So, again, man, Connecticut. I know it's just one game and they could fall, but, Charlie, that's going to be rough.
I like Connecticut a lot, but their path is just brutal. I mean, if you're looking at potentially playing Florida Atlantic, who was a Final Four team last year, or Northwestern, they're in that conversation too. And then that second round, the Sweet 16 game, you have to face Auburn, who won the SEC tournament pretty convincingly, by the way. And then on the opposite side of the bracket, it's going to be Illinois or Iowa State in all likelihood. Two teams that won the Big Ten tournament and then who won the Big 12 tournament in convincing fashion over one seed Houston. So, I mean, listen, if UConn gets there, I'm feeling great about their chances. It's just that East region is really tough, Mike.
Hard to beat the champ. It's hard to beat the champ.
The committee did not do UConn any favors.
No, they didn't. We'll be back to finish it up here in hour number one of Sports Talk right after this break on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870. We got Jimmy holding on. Jimmy, we'll take you right after the news break. But, Charlie, this coming weekend, it starts tomorrow, LSU, Florida, in a series.
Ooh,
man, it's something else. Caglione pitches Sunday, I think.
Yeah, Cags has been their Sunday starter so far this season, but he is hitting the cover off the ball right now, Mike.
So you can hear those three games live right here on the Big 870 and free on the Odyssey app all weekend long. Tomorrow's game starts at 7 here on the Big 870. So, man, you're talking about jumping from the fire to the frying pan. The one thing you can say about Florida, they legit.
Florida's been weird so far, Mike. They've lost a lot of midweek games against in-state opponents, just recently.
They ain't lost no weekend games.
Well, the weekend series that was most impressive this past weekend, they host Texas A&M, who was undefeated on the season, and they take 2 or 3 from them. Yeah. So, yes, you're looking at Florida's record. They're like a 12-8 team, and you're thinking, okay, are they really that good? Or are they really the number 6 team in the country? Watch them play this weekend, Mike. They have a lot of talent on that roster, and I think it's going to be tough for the Tigers. They got to figure out how to take 2 of 3.
Yeah, because last week was so disappointing against, you know, I don't know. We maybe have to have Todd Walker on to come. He was
pretty confident.
Yeah, he was motivating Mississippi State last week when he was on with us, but LSU would take it. So we'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Remember to Kim Mulkey at 5:40 right after this news break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.